Continuing in mitzvah Shin Pei 380, the mitzvah of Pesach Sheni. That it says in the Torah that if somebody is Tomei or was too far away from the Beis HaMikdash at the time of the offering of the Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan, so you get a second opportunity. You get makeup, as it were. And Sefer HaChinuch explains that the reason, first of all, it's not only if you was impossible for you to do it, but even if shogago nenas, if for any reason you didn't offer the Korban Pesach at the proper time on the 14th of Nisan, you get a do-over. And the Sefer HaChinuch explains that it's because that the Korban Pesach is the most fundamental mitzvah of the Torah to a certain extent, that's when God first revealed himself and showed that he created the world as opposed to the world being ever existing. So therefore, since it's such an important fundamental basic of Judaism, therefore if you miss it, so we give you an opportunity for a do-over, as opposed to the other holidays and the other korbanos that are required, that obviously they're very important, but they're not as totally fundamental to the existence and significance of the Jewish people as is the Korban Pesach. Midine ha-mitzvah, the halachos of the mitzvah of Pesach Sheni, are as follows. That discusses this in Maseches Pesachim is called the person who was ritually impure, meaning that it's introducing the laws of Pesach Sheni, because someone who's ritually impure at the time of Pesach Rishon is pushed off to Pesach Sheni. Ma bein Rishon l'Sheni. So there's a whole series of things where the Mishnayos discuss what is the difference between this and that. So it discusses the difference, for example, of what is the difference between the Pesach that was done in Egypt, the first Korban Pesach, and then what's the difference between that and the Pesach for the other generation. So you might think, it says in the Chumash that when you have the Korban Pesach, so you're supposed to take a bundle of hyssop and wipe the blood on the doors. So does that mean that every time we have the Korban Pesach, we're supposed to wipe the blood on the door? The answer is no. So the Mishnayos tell us that was only in the first Pesach and not in the rest. It also says, Mos nechem chagurim nalechem baraglechem, you should have the chippazon, all these things, they should be eaten fast and dressed as if you're ready to leave. So we don't have to do that in every year when we have the Korban Pesach. But that was only the law when the Pesach was first celebrated the first time in Egypt. So, what's the difference? So then the Mishnah lists the differences between Pesach Rishon, the regular Pesach, and Pesach Sheni, the makeup Pesach. HaRishon, Chometz Oser, Beval Yiroi, Beval Yimatzei. In the first Pesach, the regular Pesach, so starting on the afternoon of the 14th of Nisan, which is when the Korban Pesach could be offered, so we are now no longer allowed to eat or even possess chametz on a deraisa level. And in addition to the prohibition that we're not allowed to possess, or certainly not to eat chametz, so there's an additional prohibition of lo sishchat al chametz dam zivchi, that you violated an additional prohibition if your Korban Pesach is shechted at a time that you still own chametz. So let's say you couldn't bear to part with one particular cake in your freezer, and you wrapped it in a bag, and you say, "Do not eat for the next 7 days." And you put it in your freezer, totally wrapped, but nevertheless you own it. So then, if you shecht the Korban Pesach, even though you've gotten rid of all the other Pesachs, so not only did you violate the prohibition for owning that, but you violated the prohibition of shechting the Korban Pesach when you own chametz. So v'asheni chametz u'matza imo babayis. And for the second Korban Pesach, Pesach Sheni, you are allowed to own chametz. There's absolutely no requirement whatsoever that you get rid of your chametz when you do the Pesach Sheni. It just, as we'll see, has to be eaten with matzah, but it does. You don't have to get rid of your chametz. The Sheni eino noeg ela yom echad, the ein sham yomtiv iser malacha. And the Pesach Sheni is only the one day. And there's no yantif, and there's no prohibition of malacha at all. So it's just a regular day where you eat the korban Pesach Sheni. V'arishon ton halel b'achiloso, v'asheni ein ton halel b'achiloso. We know that on regular Pesach, so halel is part of the Seder. That when you eat the korban Pesach, you have to recite halel as we do nowadays. that even though we don't have the Korban Pesach, we recite Hallel during the Seder because there's a requirement that it be recited at the time of eating, which is not the requirement of Korban Pesach Sheni. Also because the Pesach Sheni is not at the time that we left Mitzrayim. The Hallel is also giving thanks to God for taking us out of Egypt, so that the 14th of Iyar is not the time that God took us out of Egypt. So therefore, the Hallel is somewhat less appropriate. Vizeh vizeh tu'unin Hallel basiyoso. And both of Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni require Hallel at the time that the Korban is shechted and processed. So in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, they used to recite Hallel lots, many times, on the Erev Pesach and Pesach and the night of Pesach. But when you do Pesach Sheni, you do have to recite Hallel as you're shechting the Korban and processing the Korban, but you do not have to recite Hallel while you are eating it. So we have this concept, you're supposed to say Hallel when you process the Korban Pesach, so there's something analogous to this that some people do nowadays. Has anyone ever seen a Chabura for Erev Pesach Dikamatzis? So in the times there's a major machlokes rishonim as to when the matzah that you eat on Seder night must be baked. Mm-hmm. So according to a simple understanding of most passages in Chazal, there is no restriction as to when the matzah can bake. You bake months in advance of Pesach as long as you do it lishma. You do it for the sake of matzah. So there is,
Does it have to be for this coming Pesach, or could you
steal
matzahs?
Mieker,
if you don't mind being a little bit soggy, you could have it a year later, then, right?
Yeah, Mieker, then it could be okay. As far in advance as you want. I think Chabad has the minhag that they don't eat matzah from the previous year. They only eat that, but that probably, I don't think that has to do with the laws of matzah per se. I think that has to do with bugs.
Oh.
Probably they were concerned that the matzah would get buggy, but now it's become a thing that even if you have the matzah, you know, in a vacuum-packed thing, so they do not eat the previous year's matzah on Pesach in the future. You know, it can get expensive. You know, if you have, you know, some people, if you end up with 10 extra pounds of hand matzah, you know, at the end of Pesach, some people say, hey, you know, I'll just save it for next year. I won't buy new next year. But Chabad, you can't do that. You have to buy new matzah every year. I mean, I don't think most people do that anyway, but okay, some people might. According to non-Chabad, it would be perfectly fine to do so. So some Rishonim say, and this in fact was the minhag, at least in Ashkenaz, in northern Europe, for a very, very long time, which is that they used to say that the baking of the matzah is analogous to the doing of the Korban Pesach, meaning that the matzah for the Seder night has to be baked on Erev Pesach. It has to be baked on Erev Pesach in the afternoon after the time that Chometz becomes prohibited. So this was the minhag that they always used to bake. They always used to bake matzah. Yeah, there are many people do it in Brooklyn. There are people who do it now. It's very, very expensive. If you want to join a chabura for it, or either you have lines outside bakeries in Brooklyn, you know, where the people line up for a long time just to get three matzahs for the Seder or Erev Pesach Dika matzahs. But the truth is, although again, the simple understanding of the sources of Chazal is that's not required, but a lot of Rishonim held it was, and this in fact was the minhag for many years. So those people who bake Erev Pesach Dika matzahs, you know, it's a little bit scary because then if you have if the matzah becomes chametz, then you violated a prohibition. If you bake matzahs 2 months ahead of Pesach, so then if there's a problem of chametz, no, so you just you throw it out. But here you have a problem that if it becomes chametz, you violated the prohibition of bal yimotze. Obviously, it's not on purpose. So what you do is you have to say that before you start baking, you say any chametz that arises that occurs during this baking procedure. So you want it to be batel before it becomes chametz. Anything that becomes whatever. Yeah, there's a procedure for doing it to make sure that you nullify the your chametz.
How can you be batel something which doesn't exist?
Because you're declaring that you don't want to assume ownership of it.
Okay, so in other words, the instant it does come into existence, it's no longer, you don't own it anymore. Okay, so
right, because you have to acquire. There has to be some mechanism of acquisition. Normally, yeah. It's because you've either rented the bakery or the bakery owns it, so it's in the bakery's property, so they automatically acquire it because they own the dough and they own the. They're saying that if something becomes chametz, they don't wish to acquire it. I mean, but the truth is that, of course, that in the times of Chazal, people used to bake matzah fresh every day of Pesach. So this was obviously not a halachic concern that you're not allowed to bake matzah after the Zman of Isser Chametz. People used to do it all the time. And Yemenite housewives, even to this day, I suppose, if they have the correct type of oven, they'll bake fresh, nice, warm matzah even during Pesach. And the Chazal tell us the rules for it, that you're supposed to... the water. There's the water where usually it's a woman. Okay, it's usually described as a woman baking in Chazal literature, but it could be a man also. That when she's kneading the dough, so she's washing her hands in bowls of water. So the bowls of water are going to collect pieces, particles of flour, and little bits of dough in them. Mm-hmm. It says you should constantly be pouring it out into a place where it's just going to, be absorbed into the ground or just a slanted area where it's not going to gather together and create a significant amount of chametz. So yeah, nowadays we think of, you go to matzah bakeries and you see men baking matzah. It's mostly, in the older bakeries they had women actually taking active participation, but now it's mostly men baking matzah, but I don't know, when men start going into the kitchen, so you get problems. I think that, they're probably if we just let the women keep baking the matzah, we might be better off. Okay, yeah. Ushneyem... So the people who bake matzah on Erev Pesach recite Hallel during the baking of the matzah because it's like the Korban Pesach because it's done at the same time. Okay. Ushneyam ne'acholim tzli al matzos umbrorim. So both the first Pesach and the second Pesach are eaten roasted with matzah and maror. Again, you have the famous disagreement between most about everybody else in the Rambam as to what that means. So according to everybody imagines when they do the Korach sandwich, and we say in the Halal, Zeichel Mikdash Kiel, Lagina Sabans Mikdash Kaya, Maya Korech. What? So, what does that mean? So, the question is, was the Korban Pesach part of the sandwich or not? Mm-hmm. So, according to the Rambam, the Pesach was not part of the sandwich, but you ate the Pesach separately, but it was called Al Matzo Sumarim because then you made a sandwich of Matzah Marer, and then you ate the sandwich of matzah maror, but according to a lot of other Rishonim, no, the Pesach was part of the sandwich. Basically, you're eating a shawarma. You had bread, you had a little lettuce, and you had some lamb. Basically, you were eating a shawarma. And okay,
the masa is probably like the Yemenite ones.
Right, soft, sure.
So wait a second. So since there's no iser chometz, you could have some rye bread in the middle of the meal. Is it
Yeah.
Uh huh. Wow.
Only for the Pesach
Sheni,
right?
Yeah, probably Pesach Sheni, obviously.
Right, yes. you could have, you're right, so it's just, there's an active obligation that you would need to have matzah with the Pesach Sheni, but there's no prohibition of eating chametz, It says explicitly in the Pasuk, Ushneyam dochen es haShabbos, that if the 14th of Iyar falls on Shabbos, then you still offer the Pesach Sheni. Uvishneyam ein mosirin velo shovrim etzem, so you can't leave over meat until the morning. You're supposed to eat it all, and if you leave it over till the morning, you have to burn it. And you're not allowed to break bones. So you know that in regular Korban Pesach, you're not allowed to break the bone in order to eat the marrow inside, for any reason, but you're not allowed to break a bone. That's exactly what it says here in the Pasuk regarding Pesach Sheni, that you're not allowed to do these things. My son... Well, maybe you'll ask, why not make them exactly equivalent? So you're going to do it. You're supposed to do it exactly as in the first Pesach. Da. Again, this parak that in Masechet Pesachim says, it's talking about the mitzvos that are only in the actual Korban Pesach itself. Kigon le'ochlo matzos umrorim, to eat it with matzah maror, v'shelo lahashir mimenu, not to leave anything over, shelo lishbor mimenu etzem kemo shepirashnu, not to leave over, not to break a bone. V'lamadnu lo markein me'asher perish akosub kan v'zachsheni k'tzas midinav. So when the Torah introduces the laws of Pesach Sheni over here, So it says kechol kuchukasa pesach yasu. So you should do like the laws of the Pesach. But then it explains a little bit the etzem lo sish merubo and all these things. V'ilu hayashove legamrei marishon yomer kechol kuchukasa pesach v'dayo. If it were literally exactly the same as the first Pesach, it should have just said, do it the same way as the first Pesach. I shouldn't have said etzem lo sish merubo and
there's no arbicosos, there's no super fetus mitzrayim, there's no, you know, it's just
the cook. I have a feeling if you or I were eating the Pesach Sheni, we would have arbicosos anyway. Yeah. But there's no halachic requirement. There's no halachic requirement to have arbicosos or super fetus mitzrayim or anything like that. That's correct. V'chein, what would be a good korban, a good shawarma, you know, without a nice wine to accompany it? V'chein amru sham ma etzem miyuchad shebegufu afkol. So same thing. So since the Torah explains explicitly the laws regarding the breaking of the bones, so it seems that the laws only apply to things that are directly in the execution of the Korban Pesach as opposed to the ancillary things. V'chein me'inyana mitzvah ma sh'amru gam kein sh'atomei sh'nidcha l'Pesach sheni hu mi sh'nitma betuma chamura me'akavto milechol ha'Pesach. That the person who's tomei, who's sent off to Pesach sheni, is somebody who has a stringent application of tumah, which will prevent him from eating the korban pesach, such as kigon zavim vizavos nidos viodos. These types of people are tamei for a certain period of time, right? Zavim and zavos are tamei for 7 days, and until they finish counting 7 clean days. Nida on a daraisa level is tamei for 7 days total. Again, before we have the stringency that we have nowadays, that women count 7 clean days even for a regular period. Yoledes, of course, is tummy for 40 days for a boy and 80 days for a girl. Not tummy, but they're not allowed to eat korbanos for that amount of time. So then, since they have a set amount of time, they have to be tummy. There's no way for them to become tahor before the eating of the korban pesach. So, therefore, they would have to make the Pesach Sheni. Uboali Nidos as well, so a man who has relations with the Nida, we know that her Tumah becomes transferred to him. So then he has to wait 7 days before he can become Tahor, so the same thing would apply. V'chein Tmei Meis Shenitma B'Tuma Min HaMeisha Nozer Megaleach Aleh. Remember, we discussed in Nozer that there are certain types of tumah that a nazir can contract from a dead body that make him end his nazirus, the ones that are more explicit. So someone who contracts this type of tumah would also have to go to Pesach Sheni. So if you have something that's very light, halachically, that if you just touch a sheretz, a dead one of these animals that conveys tumah, some type of tumah that you can easily purify yourself immediately just by immersion in the mikvah, then even if on the 14th of Nisan you contracted this tumah, then you go to the mikvah right away, and then by the time the nighttime rolls around, and the time you'll be eating the Korban Pesach, you could be tahor already. So even though you were tameh at the time of shechting, at least at Tvil Yom, you won't be totally tahor to be able to eat the Korban until nighttime. So at the time that the Korban Pesach was executed, you will have a certain level of tumah upon you. Nevertheless, that you can do that. You can participate in the first Pesach. Ulerev kishi arev shimsho ochel pischo. Then after nighttime, then you'll become fully purified. You will no longer have the status of Tvul Yom. You'll be allowed to eat korbanos, and then you can partake of the Korban Pesach, which cannot be eaten until the nighttime. Anyway, the matzah and the Korban Pesach and all these things cannot be eaten until after Tzeisek Ochavim, until absolute halachic nighttime, which is why, in contemporary application, you know, most people are, you know, somewhat uncomfortable with this, but this is what we do, is that we don't start the Seder at all. We don't even begin the Seder until after halachic nighttime, even though, according to halacha, on a regular Shabbos and Yontif, you can make early Shabbos, or early Yontif in most circumstances. I guess not the first night. It's okay. I mean, there are exceptions, but you can't make early the Pesach the first night because The mitzvahs have to be done at nighttime, and this includes the mitzvah of the four cups, which are attached, which are the Rabbanan, but they're attached to the mitzvah of eating the Korban Pesach, or in our case, eating the matzah. So therefore, even the four cups must be drunk at night. So therefore, the Kiddush must be, you cannot start the Seder until after Tzeis HaKochavim. Can you imagine if you could make early Pesach? First of all, who has time to make early Pesach? People are going nuts, you know.
But you have sometimes old people, sick people who want.
Right, it's a problem. It's a problem, yeah. So what you do? What's the classic suggestion?
You sing all the songs.
You start with Chag Gadya. You start with the early. You make the Seder early. You start the Seder early, but you start with Chag Gadya and all the songs. So that the halachic parts, you don't get to the halachic parts till after Tzeis HaKochavim. So some people say, actually, so if the issue is drinking, because the four cups have to be at nighttime and they can't be early, so tell me, why do you have to wait to say Kiddush till after Tzeis? It starts reciting Kiddush 2 minutes before Tzeis, and then when you drink the first cups, it's going to be after Tzeis. Come on. How can you so calculate the time so carefully that you start the Kiddush before Tzeis, but not drink the cup until after Tzeis? Others say no. The Taz says no. Even the Kiddush has to be after Tzeis because the Kiddush on Seder night is part of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and even the recitation of the Kiddush itself must be after Tzeis HaKochavim on Seder night, and that's again nobody recites nobody does that shtick to recite Kiddush beforehand. We all recite Kiddush after Tzeis HaKochavim.
Teal use the most machmir possible definition of Tzeis?
I hope not. The most machmir possible? Again, I think it's completely wrong, but there are briskers who on Motzei Shabbos will wait 2 hours after sunset before doing melacha. And they have various calculations of what the 2 hours means, how you calculate the 2 hours. So if you wait till that long on Seder night to start the Seder, so then you have approximately, I don't know, you might have an hour until Chatzos in some situations. So you don't, I don't think anybody, no. But that's people wait that as a chumrah for Motzei Shabbos, but regarding the beginning of the Seder, then, yeah, the guy, you wait,
I mean,
normal.
It'd be much more important, chumrah, after all. You're talking about, also the deraisas here.
Well, first of all, no, the deraisa is only, you fulfill the deraisa if you fulfill the minimal Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and the matzah, eating of the matzah after Tzeis HaKochavim. So that, everybody gets to after the most machmir brisker Tzeis HaKochavim. Anyway, just to emphasize, I think it's completely wrong. I think there's no. I think that's not a correct sheet at all. But I think even people who wait that long on Motzei Shabbos start the Seder at a normal time in order to make sure they have enough time for everything. Because again, we are talking about for the most part something that Al Pi Pashtus is only the Rabbanan. Again, there might be people chassidim who wait till after. Whatever, 72 minutes or other things. It's not. The time I give for the beginning of the Seder is that we have in our Shul's calendar is very good. So there actually is an opinion also. I mean, again, it's very not accepted. Let's not tell anyone about it. But there is a shita that you can start early. That you can start early, and as long as you get to the maybe Rabban Gamliel Pesach Matzah Maror business and the. And the eating of the matzah after Tzeis. So again, that's not it's a very minority opinion. We certainly don't do that. Again, we could be talking if again, like you mentioned, that there's someone who's very ill and really can't handle it, and where the singing Chag Gadya and all the other shtick first will not work. So then maybe there's an emergency type of thing, but it's not a normative sheet at all. V'chein minyan ha-mitzvah, ma sh'amer zichron levracha, sh'amer perg mishayotam me'al derech ha-alocha mekuyames. So there's a difference of opinion as to what it means when you're far away, b'derech rechoka, if you're on a far way from the Beis HaMikdash. So, sh'derech rechoka, tikarei kolshu rochog mechomos Yerushalayim chamisha asar milen. The way the Mishnah describes it is that if you're closer than Modim, so is it similar to the contemporary Syria city of Modi'in? I don't know. 15 mil, so 15 miles away. No, I think it has to be close. The million, I think, is farther than 15 mil from Yerushalayim. Okay, whatever. So you have, if you're 15 mil away from Yerushalayim at the beginning of the day of the 14th, then that's considered to be Derech Rechoka. Apachos Mikain Einikra Derech Rechoka. Some say that if you're just outside the Beis HaMikdash, it's called Derech Rechoka, but we paskin, like the other sheet on the Mishnah, that it's Derech Rechoka means 15 mil from Yerushalayim. The Eser Pratev Maseches Psochim, the rest of the details are found in Tractate Psochim. Now this is interesting. What? Excluded?
Yeah, because if you're needy, you can't eat
present. Yeah, it's also conspicuous. You know, hey Jack, where is your wife? You know, why isn't she here taking part of the Korban Pesach? Well, you know, I guess you learn not to ask because you'd figure why. But you know, nowadays, you know, we always say that nobody should know when the wife is Anida or not, except the husband and the wife, and I guess maybe the mikveh lady. But ordinarily, Tznius dictates that nobody should know except those two or three people. So in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, when you had Tumah V'Tahara, so Nida wasn't just relevant for the relationship between the husband and the wife, but was relevant regarding the laws of Tumah and Tahara, so basically everyone had to know.
Could have just touched a dead mouse or something too, you know. So.
Okay. Yeah, true. Okay, but the differences in terms of Tumas Mishkav Umoshav, things she sits on.
Right.
There are differences between touching a dead mouse or not. So this was had to be common knowledge in the times of the when Tumah V'Tahara were applicable. Shekein Harunu Zichronim Livracha, that our sages tell us, and of course it wasn't just married women, even a single woman over the age where she was menstruating, then she would also have to, people would have to know. Shekein Harunu Zichronim Livracha, Shenoshim Shenidchu LePesach Sheni, Vnei Atumah Vnei Echa Me'advarim Shezacharnu, Shasiyas HaPesach Sheni Lohem Rishus, that although a man who was pushed off from Pesach Rishon is required to observe the Pesach Sheni. So for a woman, it's optional. Why? What does it say? Because it says, what does the pasuk say? V'ha'ish asher hu tahor v'derech lo chaya v'chadal lasos ha-Pesach. Then it says the word ish again at the end of the pasuk. The word ish again at the end of the pasuk, so although it doesn't always mean this in the Chumash, so in this situation, the tradition of Chazal was that ish here means to exclude a woman, that a woman is only her observance of Pesach Sheni is optional. That you're right. So now if it's optional, so let's say you know for 5 years in a row she happens to be Anida at the time of or Yoledes whatever at the time of Pesach Rishon, and she doesn't feel like doing the Pesach Sheni, then she could go many years without participating in the Korban Pesach. But, it's a little odd, but nevertheless that's how it is. Ratzu shochtin, ratzu ein shochtin. If they want, they can. If they don't want, they don't have to. Minatam azeh ein shochtin aleihem bifnei atzman b'Shabbos. So for that reason, since it's only optional, if you have a group that's only women and they wish to perform Pesach Sheni, and then Pesach Sheni that year falls on Shabbos, so then you're not allowed to do it. Since you're not allowed to shecht an optional korban on Shabbos, you're only allowed to shecht a required korban on Shabbos. But if you have a group of both men and women, then you are allowed to shecht that korban, the Pesach Sheni on Shabbos, and the women can participate. So, if you didn't perform the Pesach, I'm sorry, so the first, if you didn't perform the Pesach Rishon, and then you on purpose neglected to perform Pesach Sheni, then you're liable for the penalty of Karis. So in other words, you really should be Chayav Karis for neglecting to perform the Pesach Rishon. But God gave you a makeup. So if you don't take advantage of the makeup, then you have your Karis in for you. Zeudas Rebbe b'Mishnah. That's what Rebbe says. The Reb Nosav Reb Chanina Reb Akiva Reb Chanina ben Akiva. Another girsos. Potrin oso min akoris mikevan shelo hezid barishon. But if you didn't neglect to perform Pesach Rishon on purpose, then you just had another reason why you were exempt from Pesach Rishon, and then you don't do Pesach Sheni, then you were already exempt from the kares because you didn't neglect Pesach Rishon on purpose. So even if you don't do Pesach Sheni, then you will not be liable to kares. Vein tzorach lomar shim hezid uvital arishon uvital gam hasheni bein bezodim bevish gogo shechayev kares levrei hakol mikevin shehezid velo hikriv korban Hashem b'moado. And if you neglected to perform the Rishon on purpose, and then you didn't do the Sheni, then you are Chayev Karis according to everyone. So the commentators on the Sefer Chinuch over here say, how could it be that you're doing according to everyone? That's exactly the difference between the two opinions that we just stated. Whether you're Chayev Karis, if you neglect to perform the Sheni, if you were not mazed in the Rishon. So it says that one of the commentators wants to explain that he's not referring to the difference of opinion between the Tanoim that we just discussed, but rather the difference of opinion between the Rambam and the Ravid regarding how we paskin regarding when you are Chayev Karis and not Chayev Karis regarding the performance of Pesach Sheni. And in that case, both the Rambam and the Ravid would agree that if you were mazed for Pesach Rishon, and then you neglected to perform Pesach Sheni, then your kares, it's like your kares was in suspense until you get to the Pesach Sheni, and the only way to remove it was by doing the Pesach Sheni. If you didn't do the Pesach Sheni, so your kares is instated. V'zos hi achas mishtei mitzvos asei shebatorah shemischayvin aleha kares. K'mo shemarnu b'seder boel paro. So there are two mitzvos in the Torah that your chayiv kares for neglecting to perform a positive commandment, which is very unusual. Usually only chayav karis for violating negative commandments. So one is bris milah. If you neglect to circumcise yourself, if you are a male, then you're chayav karis. And the other is neglecting to perform Pesach, the Korban Pesach, either Rishon or Sheni, as the case may be, then you are chayav karis, again, with this reasoning that the Sefer HaChinuch brings, which is that Pesach, Korban Pesach, is such a fundamental mitzvah that it's the whole uniqueness of the Jewish people is dependent on this mitzvah, and neglecting it can simply not be tolerated. Mitzvah Shin Pei Aleph 381, Mitzvahs Pesach Sheni sheyeochel al matzos umrorim, that the Pesach Sheni should be eaten with matzah and maror. Shekol ha-mechuyah ba-Pesach Sheni, sheyochal b'sar ha-Pesach al matzos u'marim. You should eat it in a sandwich with matzah and maror. Shenemar al matzos u'marim yochlu, as I state explicitly in the Chumash. Mishor she mitzvos kolin in ha-Pesach kosavti b'seder bo'al paro. If you remember all the way back when we were learning Sefer Shmos, so he explained what the reasoning is for the mitzvah of all the things relating to do with the Korban Pesach, that the matzah is, of course, reminiscent of going out of Egypt, and the maror is reminiscent of the slavery in Egypt. Obviously, the Pesach Sheni, the themes of the Pesach Sheni are exactly the same as that of Pesach Rishon. Medini a mitzvah, ma sha'amru zichronim levracha, the sages tell us, sha'amatzos tricho shimur godol, shelo yavo'u lidei chimotz. That the matzahs must be very well guarded, that they not come to leavening. Ad shechivunu zichron levracha lizar b'hem afilu mizman kitzira shelo yavo alein mayim pen yavo lidei chimotz. That the sages said that we should be careful about the matzah, that no water should touch the flour or the grain from the time of the harvesting the grain. So does that apply to all the matzah for Pesach, or only to the matzah which are eaten at the Seder, or in the case of Pesach Sheni, the matzahs that are eaten with the Pesach Sheni? That's a major machlokas rishonim. According to the Rif and the Rambam, at least l'chatchila, one is required to guard all the grain that one is going to use during the entire Pesach holiday, Mishas Kitzira, from the time of harvesting the grain, because if there would be water, if you weren't careful about it and water could touch it, then it would potentially become chametzdik. However, this is a very minority opinion amongst the Rishonim. According to most Rishonim, based on the sugya and the Gemara over there, there is no requirement at all that the matzah for the entire holiday of Pesach, besides the first night, should be guarded at all. Meaning, what does that mean? That means you could take flour that you buy in the marketplace, and you could bake matzah with that for the rest of Pesach, just not for the first night. And according to some, actually, even for the matzah of the first night, if you have no other choice, you could even use that flour that you use for the marketplace, that you just stand by from the marketplace, you could even use it for matzah the first night, because watching it from the time of kneading is also considered to be guarding. Meaning that, what do you mean? You have to at least watch it from the time of kneading. How is there any other option? The other option is that you go to a goyish baker who has not used any sourdough in his product. He just mixed flour and water together. And he has a dough sitting in front of him. And how do you determine whether the dough is chametz or not?
A certain kind of smudging they had.
You check it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it says that when the dough starts to develop cracks or it starts to change color, and so maybe if you hit it, it makes a certain sound, then the dough has become chametz. So according to the strict halacha, perhaps, one would be allowed to use such a dough perhaps for the rest of Pesach, and maybe, but just that type of dough would certainly not be that would not be allowed for the first night. You would at the very, very least have to knead it yourself, again, because there's also perhaps a requirement of lishma, that in addition to making sure that there's no leavening going on, according to most Rishonim, the Rambam disagrees. It says the only issue is the leavening issue, but you have to make sure that the grain did not become leaven, or at least the dough did not become leaven. So at least the Jew would have to knead it himself or herself for the matzah of the first for the first night. Okay. Belechatchila, we're machmir that for the matzah the first night, and the matzah that would be eaten with a Pesach Sheni, it should be shmura mishas ketzira. The grain should be watched from all the way from the time of harvesting, even though perhaps, strictly speaking, this is a chumra everybody agrees to, that you should do it if at all possible for the matzah the first night. But for the matzah the rest of the Pesach, it certainly does not have to be shmura mishas ketzira. In fact, all the matzah we have nowadays, even the regular Menashevitz matzah that you pull off the shelf, is, even though it doesn't say shmura on it at all, is shmura mishas tchina. It's not just they don't just buy flour and use it to bake these matzahs and just watch it during the kneading and baking process, but rather it's watched for the time of grinding the grain. Even if it's not watched from the time of harvesting the grain, it's watched from the time of grinding the grain. So every single matzah that we have nowadays is at least shmura mishas tchina, which according to the Ashkenazi Rishonim is acceptable even for the first night. And again, we would rely on that if no shmura mishas ktsira were available. So that's already for the rest of Pesach, it's already shtikl chumra to be makman shmura mishas tchina. But it's again, it's one that's accepted by Klal Yisrael nowadays. It's a good chumra. But you certainly do not have to have Shmura Mishas Ktsira for the entire Pesach. And there are people like to be extra firm. They want to be Makbid on the Rambam. They think that the Vilna Gaon was Makbid on Shmura Mishas Ktsira the whole Pesach, although that's not exactly accurate, that he himself was, but not that he held that it was absolutely required. It was just because of the Metzias in Europe, that the grains would be more easy. They would potentially become chametz even before they were harvested because of the harvesting season, how the grain would sort of dry out on the while it was still attached to the ground, and if it rained on it, could still become chametz, whatever it is. So lemaisa, we certainly try, and since they're so available, we should certainly succeed to get shmura mishas ketzira for the seder, but for the rest of Pesach, the regular matzahs, which are shmura mishas tchina and perhaps acceptable when no shmur mishas tchina is available, even for the Seder night as well. So that's fine, yeah.
Well, in any given field of wheat, you're going to have like some certain stalks of wheat that are going to die prematurely and dry out, you know, and then get rained on. I mean, what do you do about that? You're just going to
You check them.
You check them.
Yeah, if you have Shmura Mishas Ksira, that's part of the process.
In other words, every single head of wheat is...
I mean, you go, you walk, I don't know, you take a walk through the field, I don't know. I don't think I don't think they're sitting there checking every single grain, but you walk through the field and you see if there are parts that are that have dried out and don't need not drawing sustenance from the ground anymore. Yeah. Fine. The yeser rube ribui pratehan beinyan halisha vehafia bapesach rishon. And the same stringencies apply regarding the kneading and the baking. That you have to knead the matzah with what's called mayim shelanu. What's mayim shelanu? What? Yeah, water that spent the night, that slept over. There's a cute story because mayim shelanu is it's a homonym in Hebrew that it could mean either water that slept over or water or our water. Mm-hmm. There's a cute story in the Gemara that one of the Amoraim gave a drasha about how you need to use mayim shelanu to make matzah. So the next day, everyone came with buckets and said, "Here, give us water. You said you were only allowed to use your water to make matzah." He says, "No, I didn't mean that. I meant that you have to use water that slept over." And the reason being that there's a concern that if you draw it like in the morning and the water was overnight, not in a vessel that was stored in the bakery or in your house, whatever. That if you just drew it in the morning after having spent the night in the ground or in a cistern or a well or whatever, then it would become too warm. Because again, remember in the old model of the world, the sun, where does the sun go at night?
At the famous, Gemara in Pesach.
Right, yeah. So maybe it goes over the firmament or whatever. So somehow, since it goes under the... Well, the sun sort of does go under the ground, sort of, but it's not flat. Whatever. So even if they assume that maybe the sun goes under the earth during the night, and it's going to heat up the earth from the bottom, so the water in the well is going to be too warm in the morning, and then it's going to cause the dough to become chametz faster. So therefore, we have to use mayim shelanu that was drawn before the nighttime. It spent the night. And then it won't be heated up by the sun as it goes under the ground.
The center of the earth is hot, but for different reasons, yeah.
The center of the earth is hot, but that's all the time, okay. Right. Not just the issue is not the timing. So some people have suggested that, why do we need nowadays mayim shelanu to bake matzah? Maybe we should just take water and stick it in the fridge. It'll be nice and cool. Stick it in the fridge for a few hours. Water will be very cool. And there won't be any concern that it'll become chametz. So that has been suggested by some people, because as you can imagine, regarding the baking of matzah, we Jews are very nervous, and we want to be very conservative, so there might be some reason that even that wouldn't be sufficient. It has to be naturally cool, who knows what. But
can it be tap water, chlorinated?
In what we call chabura matzah, whatever that means, people have different definitions for what that means. It's supposed to be, matzah that's baked on a smaller scale to a higher standard. So a lot of times they'll advertise that the matzah is baked with well water and not with the city tap water, because the city tap water might have some chemicals in it that they're concerned could make the dough become chametz faster. I mean, it's hard to imagine, but regular matzah is usually made just with tap water. If it's not, we assume it's not. There's such a small amount, and we have no indication that it could cause chametz faster. But yeah, it's interesting, actually, that matzah that's baked
it slows it down.
What, the chlorine does? It kills the germs? Kills yeast.
Chlorine, if anything, will inhibit yeast or something. If I'm good for yeast. Yeah.
I hear. I don't think it's required, but people, that's a chumra that certain matzah baking places do advertise. Yeah. Actually, it tastes better, actually, I think, when it's made. Sometimes chabur matzahs taste better because the water is
more expensive, of course, tastes better.
Oh, voilà, yeah.
Before refrigeration, they used to put water in clay jugs.
Right? Yeah, sure.
It cools the water.
Yeah, that's the mayim shelanu, yeah. That's why they're supposed to be in jugs overnight.
Somehow it goes through the pores of the
clay. Right,
sure. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, so if that's the only reason, so the fridge should also be good. Take fill up some You know, have a refrigeration system, get the water very cold, and that should be even better than Mayim Shelanu. But again, we don't change. I mean, besides the extremely major change that happened in the 19th century, where people started baking matzah by machine, which again many people were opposed to at the time. But besides that one huge major change, so we like to be very conservative about matzah. We don't like to change anything.
A lot thinner than it used to be, though. That's
so.
No,
but that was always an acceptable way of making matzah. There was never a required thickness for matzah. You could bake it as thin as you want. I mean, there's a maximum thickness, but which is a tefach. So you can have matzah this big. Okay, but I don't view that as a change, because there was always the option, if you wanted to bake crackers, matzah, cracker matzah, you could bake cracker matzah. If you liked that, you know, hard crackers, that was fine. Mm-hmm. Fine, so that's the lisha and the afia, that it has to be... You're not supposed to knead the dough in the same room as in a room that's heated by the oven. You're supposed to, again, the person baking it, again, we're supposed to be a Jewish person, so as much as possible within all these stages, should be a Jewish person because of the Shimur issue that it's, for not only you can actually save it physically from chametz, and you have to bake it lishma, according to many Rishonim, that has to be made with the intent to be used for the mitzvah. Has to be a hot oven, etc. It says at least the lichatchil and shulchan aruch, you're not supposed to put the matzah in the oven and then heat up the oven. That the matzah is always supposed to have to be, the oven is always supposed to be very hot while you put in the matzah, and it's supposed to bake as quickly as possible. Uchlal hakolhu shenase ben shmira gedola. V'chol hakolhu shenase ben shmira gedola michimutz. That the basic idea is that it's supposed to be as much as possible prevented from becoming chametz. Mm-hmm.
Is there you mentioned, Greg, that the by Tosfos and so on, they used to actually use Goyish ovens because there weren't any other ovens available.
Yeah.
All right. So clearly, I guess you're relying upon that the oven is so hot that it koshers itself before mm-hmm. Why can't we just go use a pizza oven then?
You can. Yeah, why not?
Really? Okay. So why aren't all the kosher pizza places, open?
Well, they don't have the setup for it. You need a setup.
You need a separate room, for example. And so
right. You need a separate room from the oven. You need the equipment. I mean, they just don't have all the equipment, and they have to clean. You know, physically clean the tables and all the surfaces from. Right. Who knows? They're probably pizza dust. Sticking everywhere. I don't know.
Right. Also, look kind of peculiar if you're walking out of a pizza place, Chopsies or whatever they call it.
You put your matzahs in a pizza box.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, sure.
If we can get the... I would love to have a Washington Heights congregation, Chabura, to bake matzah. If we can get, Lake Como Pizza or whatever to shut down operations for a few days before Pesach. That's their busiest time. They wouldn't shut down then.
Yeah.
A few days before Pesach. Turn on the oven to the highest temperature, let it kosher itself, obviously before you start baking. And then you clean everything down. You need the matzah in the area where the dining area of the restaurant. Then you rush it into the area with the oven. You stick it in. It could be done. You just have to have people there who know what they're doing. If you just think, people think that they can just bake matzah because they just knead dough fast and stick it. There are a lot of rules. You have to have someone who has experience baking matzah doing it. You couldn't just go in yourself. But if we want to have a little chabura. Or why? For you get a, let's just invest in one of the tabletop pizza ovens.
All right, okay.
Yeah, it's a good idea. I mean, if people learn the dinim, so it's very possible that the matzahs that you bake at home could be be better, and we could bake erev Pesach tikka matzahs, and we could there's
and of course you have plenty of time before Pesach to go ahead and
Right. There's also a problem. That some problems are caused by the industrial system, which is that the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Tshuvas HaRosh, that it says that the 18 minutes that you have, we all know that if you have a dough, you mix flour and water, so you have 18 minutes to bake it before it becomes chametz. So the Tshuvas HaRosh says that the 18 minutes only applies when you first mix the dough together. But after you've already started kneading the dough and it becomes warm, then if you leave it even the most minute amount of time without kneading, and you just let it sit there, it's going to become chametz miyad, immediately. So what does that mean?
I mean, even, in other words,
you're kneading dough.
One at a time, it means.
Basically, yeah. You have to. If you take this tshuva sarash really literally, as
you can't knead something. First of all, you're kneading dough. I mean, you have to put it down before you turn it over.
No, but all this asek, touching it and moving it, is part of the asek.
Okay,
it's part of the.
You have to keep your hands on it.
Right. So if you let it according,
before you put it in the oven, or you have it, flatten out, and you stop kneading it, and you're ready to put it in the oven. I mean, doesn't that count?
No, if you would literally, as Robert Zuckerman suggested, doing one at a time, one matzah at a time, which they're not doing in industrial bakeries, then you could have someone kneading, and then the person who's putting the matzah in the oven would, put on a stick. Whatever, that's what they do it nowadays. Mm-hmm. They put on a stick. So you have the person who's kneading it or making the holes, whatever they're doing. All this is considered asik. That would not cause, that would prevent it from becoming chametz. Then as soon as the holes are done, you hand it to the guy. The guy puts on the stick and then sticks it right in the oven. That's the way it has to be done according to the literal reading of the Tshuva Sarash. So first of all, most Rishonim don't hold to this at all. They say even after it's already started kneading, you still have the 18 minutes. Mm-hmm. But Shulchan Aruch does quote the Tshuva Sarash. So the question is, if you literally take the Tshuva Sarash as meaning immediately, that it, you can't even leave it for the fraction of a second after you've started kneading it, then all commercial matzah practically is no good. At least hand matzah. Some people argue that machine matzah is better in that regard because the machine is constantly going. But you can't eat any hand matzah unless you're... So most poskim assume, contemporary poskim say that if it's for a very minute amount of time, perhaps, I think Rav Yoshev said 30 seconds or something like that, that if you leave it for... So 30 seconds is still considered miyad, immediately.
So we'll get the tabled up oven then, and we'll sell the matzah, and we'll give a video of each matzah being made, so somebody can actually make sure that they
No, so if you're doing it at home,
this is my matzah. I see.
So if you're doing matzah at home, then you can do this. It's somewhat practical to be makdil on this. You're doing a very small batch. And, when you have the person sticking the matzah in the oven, so the person continues kneading it until the matzah is ready to go into the oven. But you have a commercial thing where they were doing many matzahs at a time, so it's impossible. In regular matzah bakeries, they're letting it sit for, the better matzah bakeries, will do it, will say they do it for less than, I don't know, they give different numbers. People, they want to say, we have less shahiyas, we have less breaks in the kneading. So, but it's not the literal reading of the Shulchan Aruch, unless you're doing it one by one, literally. It's a problem. The industrial system, again, it made sure people aren't doing things at home that are really wrong. But on the other hand, it did create more of a problem with the Shias.